gol de Chupete. Esa bala muy larga. Esa bala para Chupete. Gol de Chupete. Gol de Chupete. ¡Gol!
Centro largo, la pelota peinada. Y de gol, 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 gol.
Deflected.
Manda el centro. ¡Alvin!
¡Gol! Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Realos Nutty Podcast. I'm your host, Eduardo Razo, and joining me, as always, is Patrick Meehan. Pat, we have a guest? No, I don't want to call him a guest because he's usually contributing to the podcast, but it's been like 7 months, according to my Skype records, that we've been all together at the same time, all three of us. Rompas is joining us. Yeah, it's been a while since we've all been talking together at once, but we're here. Very special occasion. I know there's no football going on, but we decided, or Pat decided over couple of days ago, he said let's break down some of the positions on this team, because why not? I mean, who knows if the season's gonna get canceled, then we gotta jump straight into transfers and all that good stuff, and then we gotta evaluate the squad, yep. See who stays, who goes, and who's been performing over the last calendar year. But yeah, I know right now we're all under quarantine, and a couple of days ago, we talked with Rodolfo Landeros of Fox Deportes, who was gracious enough with his time. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely check it out. Or if you have friends that are Monterrey fans that need some content, definitely recommend, just send them the link to the episode, which is on Spotify and Apple. But gentlemen, let's dive into this series. So the next couple of days, we're going to be talking or breaking down each position, all the players, who we want to see move in, move out. We're going to talk transfers and all that good stuff, because that's all we have right now. We can't talk about games. We can't talk about who's performing well, what are the expectations, et cetera, et cetera. But let's dive in right now. The goalkeeping position. That's the first position we're going to tackle. Pat, if you want to take it from there, I know there's four key goalkeepers on the roster. One is on loan. Obviously, it's Hugo Gonzalez, but you also have Marcelo Barovero, Luis Cardenas, and Edson Resendez. Those are the four names that we'll probably be tackling, and also adding in what people are saying or, wrote it on Twitter. But Pat, take it from there. Where do you want to start this conversation with those four goalkeepers?
I think the biggest conversation regarding goalkeepers it was probably one of the most important conversations that the club was going to have this summer, with Barovero leaving and then apparently Hugo Gonzalez coming back. I think that's where we need to start. I mean, there's a lot of divided opinions on that. We're probably not even that divided, just mainly against it.
Think it's a 90%. I mean, the only people I've seen like for him are our friend Felipe Galindo, and you also have what's his name, Chileno Alan. Those are the only two people I've seen like before Hugo Gonzalez arrived. Those are the only two. Everybody else is against
them. Also Diego Armando Medina is a little bit in favor of Hugo Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. But I'm a little 50-50 on that whole decision. I'm not sure, but we can get into it. We can start with some controversial stuff.
Let's first start with Barovero, because obviously he's leaving this summer whenever the season ends. I don't know if it's going to be, or if this season's going to conclude or not, but more than likely he's going to go. And we've had about a year or so of Barovero. And in that year, he's come up with some memorable saves. It's been a while since we've had a goalie step up when we really needed him, and he's done so. And so if this is the end of the road for Barovero, Let's start with Rompas. What are some memories, or what's your opinion on Barovero's tenure here in Monterrey? Like, where does he rank for you in terms of goalkeepers that you've seen? Not just like history, but just that you've seen in your lifetime.
Okay. He definitely is in the top five of goalkeepers, because it is hard to judge a goalkeeper because it's the most unfair position of every position, because a striker can miss a few chances and then score and he's the hero, but if a goalkeeper fails, it's a goal. So keeping that in mind, Barovero did great when we needed him. I think that he took a while for him to adjust to the way that Mexican soccer is played. He's not that goalkeeper that you're gonna see going out of the area and kind of like Jonathan Orozco does. And we were accustomed to that. So when we face this goalkeeper that is all seriousness and all just quiet, and he just does what he does. So it was kind of different, the transition. But at the end, when it mattered, he stepped up, counting the final against Tigres and CONCACAF, and obviously against America. In Azteca Stadium, he's on the top five. I would rank him. I mean, for me, it's La Bomba Ruiz Diaz was my first goalkeeper that I was like in love, like a hardcore fan of. Back in the 90s, then it would be Jonathan Orozco, Ricardo Martinez, and then maybe we can throw in Barovero in the fourth place. Because obviously he hasn't been here that long, but yeah. he has the accolades that for instance La Bomba doesn't have. But it's a matter of opinion, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think that it would be the best both for the team and him if this season, which apparently is over now, ends and he has to go. I wish him the best. Mm-hmm. I sincerely hope that wherever he goes, he kills as he has done here. But mm-hmm. other than that, it's not a position that I think that we have to keep. I as you guys know, I'm really confident with El Mochi. So mm-hmm. for me, it's just that.
Yeah, no, and in that short time, it helps that you have like moments in that short that kind of push you up exactly. towards other goalkeepers that have you know been in net for Monterrey over their history, and obviously the two that come to mind, like you said, the final against the Tigres and the Gignac save where he pretty much injures his shoulder, mm-hmm. he stretches out as far as he can with his shoulder, and you know who knows what happens if Gignac's header goes in. That's a, you know, the game turns out differently.
There's one thing about that save that kind of reminded me a lot of Jonathan Orozco, because Jonathan was he usually did that especially against Tigres. We all remember a bunch of clásicos, either in the Universitario or in Tecnológico or the BBA even, when he stepped up in those kind of games. And that kind of reminded me of Jonathan, but when he did it again against America on the second leg, now he earned that name. See, I don't know if I'm explaining myself.
Yeah,
he's no longer like a Jonathan Orozco. I like he's now Marcelo Barovero, which is awesome.
Yeah, no, and I'm pretty sure you're referring to the Nico Castillo save and the penalty, you know, kicks that Bram right there, like the team needed him to obviously, you know, it was a rough game overall for the team, but they were able to get it to penalty kicks. And in a moment where you needed at least one save to at least give yourself an opportunity to try to win it, he did come up for you and he stopped Castillo. And, you know, I'm pretty sure River Plate supporters would say, you know, that's the type of, you know, goalie he is, like when you need him to step up in big time moments. And we're going to get to a goalie who's not been able to step up in big time moments here in a bit, but that's one thing that we're going to see if Cardenas has that, because he's had moments, you know, where he's been needed to step up, but now he's going to have to be stepping up against first team players. Like it's another, it's one thing to do it in the Copa, in a third place game against, at the Club World Cup. But it's another to be doing it against, you know, first team players who are good quality players, and we're gonna see if Cardenas has it. But Pat, before we switch on to Gonzalez and Cardenas, what's your memory or what's your take away from Barovero, whose tenure is about to end?
Yeah, Barovero has those type of moments which obviously always help for the memory of fans, you know. 20, 30 years from now, people will still remember those big saves, and especially in finals and especially exactly. When you win championships. So Barovero deserves that. I think for most of the time he was consistent. He had some troubles, especially early on. He adapted. He became better. And those little faults were starting to be less and less and less known or seen. But yeah, that's what pushes Barovero up there. I mean, if you can step up in the big games and win championships for a team, it's nothing better than that, especially when you're a protagonist and you're saving those big shots, something that Hugo Gonzalez couldn't do while he was here. And we'll talk about it. But, Jonathan Orozco did it when we were winning championships. That's what you got to do.
Pat, one question. Where would you rank?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask him next. where does he rank for you?
Yeah, he's obviously up there as well. I don't know an exact spot. I think for like
well,
for
me the, personally, the goalies like, that you've seen, the goalies that you like, I don't yeah, like, yeah, for, the goalies that you've
me,
seen.
For me personally, whenever I remember his time at Monterrey, he'll be up there. Since he's like a. He has a weird personality in the sense that he's not like a personality. He's just like there and does his job. I didn't like fall in love with him. But I would say from the people I've seen at Monterrey, it's got to be top 3-4 for sure.
If you guys want to add anything else before we close up on Barovero, before we move on to, I guess, the future of Monterrey goalkeeping.
Nope.
There's a little chance, that he stays. Because it's just like 95% that he's going and 5% that he might be staying.
He's made it even clear too that he would like to stay, but obviously contracts and then the foreigners rule. I don't know how the directiva is gonna go about all that stuff, and then Mohamed too. We'll see what happens with them. But it's kind of made known that it's more than likely that he's leaving. But you know, obviously there's always a small chance that plans can change, especially with this pandemic. You don't know. Like I know in Europe. Things are going to be changing a little bit. I don't know if Liga MX is going to, you know, postpone that rule that, you know, obviously the foreigners are going to shrink, but we'll see what happens there. Let's move on to another goalkeeper. Let's get this one out of the way. Where does Edson Resendez rank for you? Like, what do you think is going to happen to this guy? Do you think eventually he's just going to have to move on with his career elsewhere to get it going, Pat?
Yeah, he has to. I mean, because Mochis is there, and I'm rooting for Mochis. And if Hugo Gonzalez comes back, the rotation will be Mochis and Hugo Gonzalez. Edson Resendez will never be seen again. And he's 24. You know, he probably wants to play, I'm guessing. So yeah, I think he has to move on. I couldn't give you a judgment about him because really, there's very little that we've seen him play, but. You have Mochis, you have Hugo Gonzalez if he actually does come back, And in Mexico, you can't have like three goalkeepers that rotate, you know?
Yeah.
He has to go somewhere else, I think.
Would you loan him out or would you sell him outright? He's under contract until 2023. Would you just loan him out, rather see what he can do as a number one goalkeeper? He's Mexican. And, you know, like I said, with this rule, more than likely Monterrey is going to be, you know, relying on Mexican goalkeepers. So would you loan him out or would you go straight up sell him out?
I mean, if Monterrey can probably take it, but I'll loan him out, see what's up with him. And then if you see that nothing comes out of him, even though he's playing every single week, then you see what you can do. I mean, but it's always better, I think, to loan some players out to see how they look playing and then decide on their future. Maybe a short-term loan, like a six-month loan, mm-hmm. Can work for him for sure.
Would you have a club in mind, or like would you loan him to like a mid-table club or a lower-table club, or what club do you have in mind that you think might benefit from him? Because obviously the rule is going to change and a lot of people are going to be in the market for a Mexican goalkeeper, just because that's the position where you don't have to spend that much money on the most.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a club in particular, but I would definitely send him to a lower club where he can get shot at a lot, so he can test himself out. And then, but it just depends on who's looking for a goalkeeper that can play week in and week out, because that's what you want when you loan somebody out, you know? So it probably, for a guy like Edson Resendez, it probably have to be even like second division. I know Monterrey has like a few clubs where they have a good relationship with when they loan players out. And I think that could work for a guy like Edson Resendez. I mean, second division, hopefully lower side in the first division, but I don't think that could happen. I mean, I think if you're in the first division, you have a keeper, you know, you're not looking to loan somebody in that maybe in the second division, you can't afford to have like a full-time keeper in the sense of you might still be looking to experiment on some other stuff and a keeper can add to that. I'm pretty sure he would like to stay in Monterrey because he's 24 and, you know, he's hasn't played that much in so many years now. So I'm pretty sure that he's very loyal and he probably doesn't even mind the play time. But whatever Monterrey wants to do in this situation, maybe they still want to keep him as a third string goalkeeper. If all parties are fine with that, then I'm sure his like salary is not that high. So Monterrey wouldn't mind that. Yeah. It just depends on what they end up deciding between Mochis, Barovero, and Hugo Gonzalez.
Rompas, what's your, your take on Edson Resendez? What do you think is going to come of him going forward?
I think, as Pat said, he explained it really good. He's not going to play much with Rayados because he's still going to be the third option. And, well, you have only so much tournaments that you can fit him. So I don't think he's going to play much. And maybe a team like, I don't know, Querétaro or something like that, where Vucetich already took like La Hood or something like that. So he can see a few more minutes. But I don't see him being on the net for Rayados on the next few years because that position, it's already taken by Mochis or whoever it is that ends up on that position. I don't see him being there. It's not because he's not good. I don't know. I've only seen him like two games at most in at least 2 years. So it's really hard to say if he's capable of holding that responsibility, but I would also loan him. I wouldn't sell him. But it's difficult because when you're in that position, it's one of those key positions that you need to have some guy that is already proven worthy of it, and Edson hasn't had that chance. So it's going to be difficult for him. I do wish him the best of luck, of course.
Yeah. So let's get into the topic that pretty much is going to take up this podcast and what most people want to listen to, and that's Monchis Cárdenas and Hugo González. Pat, where do you want to start first? You want to start with Cárdenas or Monchi? I mean, not Cárdenas, González or Monchis? Who do you want to start off with first? Because more than likely, these are the two guys that are going to go forward with the net mining position.
Yeah, I prefer to start with Monchis because it's somebody we have right now in the club, and we've seen like more of this past, or at least with this past like weeks and months and years, and then we can talk with González, I guess.
Yeah. So first, let me just give you the details. Monchis is under contract until 2024. Currently has a market value of 400,000, so he's gonna be cheap. I know and he's Mexican, of course, and so more than likely, I know in the past, Mohamed doesn't like spending that much money on a goalkeeper. I don't know if I read this somewhere, but he prefers a Mexican. So, where do you want to take it with Cárdenas? Where do you see him? We've seen him have, you know, he's taken all the moments that have been given to him, or all the opportunities that have been given to him, and he's kind of ran with it. Obviously, the Copa MX, the second leg against Santos, where he came up in the penalty shootout, and the third place game again in the Club World Cup, and obviously the Copa MX run. So he's had plenty of opportunities, and he's kind of run with it, and it's. As the season went along, a lot of people were confident in him to at least be given a shot at the number one goalkeeper position. The question I'll ask is, how long of a leash would you give him? Like, would you give him one full season, one tournament? Because obviously having Hugo González on the bench, you're always I'm not sure how Mohamed's going to play it, but he's going to have someone that he could obviously go to. It would be nice for him to just say, you know, Cárdenas is my number one goalkeeper, at least for this tournament, and just give him that vote of confidence where he doesn't have to worry about someone taking his position. And yeah, so Pat, go ahead and just give us your take on Cárdenas, and what do you think of him going forward?
Well, my take on Cárdenas is, I think, what we all feel like. He's a wonderful goalkeeper that has shown it. I remember when Barovero got injured against Tigres in that semifinal that Monterrey ends up getting eliminated. Cárdenas has a wonderful save, and, you know, the season's cut short, and we can't see him for a while. And then, of course, what happens in the Club World Cup. I mean, a stage that big to just represent your club, a guy like him that loves the club, in the big stage in front of the world, that was wonderful to see. And then, of course, Copa MX, what we've seen of him. I think he absolutely deserves it. I'm sure he wants it, and he feels that he's ready. The club has a tough decision there because, you know, if you don't play him, he'd probably like to go somewhere else. And if you do play him and he doesn't end up being that guy constantly, and you know, you go with that decision just because of you go with you know, a little bit of what's it called, like a you go there just because it's a natural selection, like the second goalkeeper now needs to be the first one, and you end up getting that one bad, then it's a tough decision as well. I mean, I think goalkeepers have to be constant, and that what puts them in the right place. If a goalkeeper plays week in and week out, or even like once every month or something like that, then they lose confidence, they lose their touch. They need to be out there saving shots pretty much. That's what they live for, literally. And I think Cárdenas needs that for sure, 100%. I think Monterrey should give him that. He deserves it. He's earned it. It's just a matter of, you know, who they want as a first goalkeeper. Because like I said, both of those goalkeepers, if they end up being the two goalkeepers that we have in Rayados, then one of them is going to want to play and the other one is going to want to play as well. So, and you can't play two goalkeepers. So tough decisions ahead. Like I said, if you go with your heart, you have to obviously go with Monchis. And then if you go by people, analysts of the team that are analysts of soccer that the club has in the you know, sporting side of the team, which we've criticized so much. Maybe they see something else. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I don't see every single Necaxa game to see what Raúl González is doing. But I mean, whoever makes the decisions need to be doing that, and I'm pretty sure they are. Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at. It's a tough one, but
yeah. Before we go to Rompas, what's your confidence level on Monchis? You know, out of 10, give me the confidence level you'll have in him if he's given the number one position.
Oh, it's high. It's high for sure. It's high for sure. And I want it. You know, I'm not like probably say 100% right now just because of what we've seen lately. I want to see it, like I said, every week, especially when we'll talk about this in another podcast. You know, Muchis will need to rely a lot on the defensive line. And if the defensive line gets a lot of balls lets a lot of balls through and Muchis has to save a lot of them, that's when we see the real him. I mean, penalties are, of course, something that you can practice, but that's not what a real goalkeeper goes through every week. Rarely do we see our team going to penalties. So it's high, and I want it for him to get that number one spot.
I agree. And like you said, he's going to need his defensive help, which we'll talk about on another podcast, because this defense right now, as constructed, is awful. It's old, and you know they're gonna have to add some youth and just a lot of better play, because they were losing a lot of miscommunications on their part that were leading to scoring chances for the opposition, and some of them they were eventually beating Barovero. But Rompas, give us your confidence on Monchis. What do you expect out of him, and how long of a leash should the club give him? Because obviously, like Pat was saying, he's gonna have someone behind him who is currently playing well for Necaxa. I'm not going to deny that González isn't playing well, but obviously Monchis has the heart of the supporters. He's done a lot of amazing things in the Copa and at the Club World Cup. But yeah, just give me your take on Monchis.
I'm a big fan of him. I'm a huge fan of him. First of all, because he already took a picture with me, so that obviously earns him a lot of points. And second of all, because remember how Mohamed likes his goalkeepers. He likes them to be good with their feet, which obviously Cardenas has shown that he is. He really, whenever we have seen him under pressure, he has come out of it amazingly. He's that type of goalkeeper that you as a fan almost love instantly, because he gives you those type of saves that makes you like jump out of your seat, right? So he has that personality. He's really how can I explain it? He fits in with defense, which is something that, for instance, Barovero took a while to do so. And even Hugo González, even before the tragedy of December 17, he wasn't that liked, or we didn't have that much confidence, even though he wasn't playing that bad. But it's something that is inherent to your personality that makes you people like you for just because of that. And alongside of that, of course, he has shown his skills. He's really good. He has, again, he has done it really good under pressure, which is something that we all need as fans. We need that position to be covered by somebody who has guts and show every chance that he has that courage, that those guts. So he Also, he's 26. He's Mexican. You wouldn't have to worry about that position, at least for the next 7 years, maybe 8 years. You would be covered with Cardenas. But it is what it is. I mean, me as a fan, I would definitely give him the full season, no matter the outcome, because he deserves it, first. And second of all, because of what I was saying, that a lot of people is going to be rooting for him. So you as management, given the relationship that you have right now with the fans, that can earn you some points with the fans. So I would definitely give him the full season, have him make all the mistakes that he possibly can, so he learns from that, and then we can see him mature as a goalkeeper. The thing is that strikes me the most is exactly that he has shown already that on the big stage he's not gonna fail you, so to speak.
Yeah, and that's one thing I kind of want the team to, like, not just say, oh yeah, we believe them and all this. I want them to say, this is your net for the Apertura. We're not going to replace you. Make the mistake. Yeah, we know that, you know, this is technically your rookie year, because this is the first time you're going to be given the keys to the car.
Yep.
He's the main guy. And you don't want him to be tense, thinking, okay, I have Hugo Gonzalez behind me. If I make a mistake, they can yank me. Like, they can take away my starting position. And that's something I kind of want, hopefully, Mohamed to come out and say, that he's our keeper for at least this tournament. Like, we're gonna, if he makes a mistake, okay, what happens? But we're not going to yank him just, because we have another starting, caliber goalkeeper behind him. And let's just talk about Hugo Gonzalez. Pat, a couple weeks ago, he was on, I think, Fox, talking about that he was, I guess, for lack of a better word, excited to come back to Monterrey and be given another chance. I know when those quotes started coming out, or that video of that interview started coming out, a lot of people were not happy and saying nope. And I mean, it's warranted because of what the past is. But Pat, what's your stance on Hugo Gonzalez? How would you, or would you welcome him back? Would he be a quality number two keeper? Yeah, just take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, he will definitely be quality. I'm not, and let's say this, because sometimes as fans, obviously emotions get the best of us, especially when we try to put our opinion on what the board should do with certain players, right? If a guy scores a goal, then you want him there forever, which, yeah, maybe you can score a goal, but you're not the best player, it's just, we obviously, the people that are deciding this have it with a little bit of emotion, I'm guessing. They have to be like in love with their job, so they like their team a lot and they want them to succeed. But also they have to look for it with a sporting side, with a more analytical side. And if Hugo Gonzalez is the man for the job, then take it. I'm not gonna judge one of those decisions because of what was wrong with Hugo in the past, where he had a bunch of bad mistakes. It's not like he is going to continue making those mistakes, and everything can change, especially after a few years that where you.
How, Pat, sorry to cut you off. I want to say, how much do you think has changed? Because obviously at Necaxa he's playing well. He was probably one of the reasons why they made it to the semifinals last year, but. I mean, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, it's different when you have that pressure that Monterrey is going to command. We've seen it. It's not just Monterrey; different clubs, whatever. Once a player that's playing well for a team that doesn't have that much pressure or isn't expecting much of them, but when they go to another club where, okay, it's title or bust, that can eat up a player, and it did eat him up once, and obviously he thinks he's kind of changed playing at Necaxa. But do you think, like, mentally that I'm not sure, like you said, you haven't seen that many Necaxas. I haven't seen that many Necaxa games. But do you think, you know, mentally wise, do you think he can handle the pressure again of playing for Monterrey and playing for a fan base that demands championships, not, you know, last place finish, not mental mistakes and key moments? Do you think he can handle that pressure again? Because right now, that's the one thing that's concerning me and doesn't give me that confidence of wanting to see him, because I don't know. It's just hard to think that he can, you know, have that, you know, switch again, that he can say, you know what, yeah, I learned from my mistakes, but I'm ready for that pressure again.
I mean, it's something that we don't know, because, you know, he seems pretty motivated and he seems to kind of enjoy it a little bit. The hate that he gets, that's what I see when he talks. He seems like a very professional guy, very serious guy, works hard for the goals he needs to achieve. But mental is super important. At the end of the day, you can work for 2 years for a goal, and then when you're in front of it, something, you get nervous or whatever, and you break down, and all the work that you put in goes out the window. That can happen for sure. But like I said, this guy, Hugo Gonzalez, looks like he's very, very, very professional, very, like, fine mentally. He obviously, with Rayados, nothing good happened. We saw it, and we all were part of it. And if he can have that capability of keep working, because he definitely has keep, you know, with his work, and he's been better as time goes by. Now he just needs to show that, yes, he has gone better, and yes, he can still get better, but also that when push comes to shove, or when the whatever saying you want to say, that he's ready and fit for that moment. And we can only see that. We can't judge him. Can he do it or can he not? I don't know. We have to see it. That's the risk that Monterrey and Rayados puts themselves into if they decide that he's number one again.
Yeah. Rompas, before we, you know, wrap up this podcast, what's your overall belief in Hugo Gonzalez? Do you think he's changed? Do you think he can handle the pressure of playing for Monterrey after a couple of good seasons with Necaxa? Like I told Pat, obviously Necaxa is not Monterrey. Necaxa isn't demanding championships or trophies. They're not, you know, they don't have the amount of money invested into the squad like Monterrey has. Do you think after, what, a year or two away from Monterrey, that Gonzalez could possibly somehow grab the starting job eventually?
Nope. The question was really great. Like, what's your belief? I don't have any belief.
What did you make, Tua, before you continue, what did you make of his comments from that interview that he did a couple of weeks ago with Fox?
He knows how to play the game. He knows that he's a professional, and he knows that he's under contract with Monterrey, so he obviously is gonna say that, and he's already buying himself a little bit of confidence with those type of comments. But I really don't see him being the number one goalkeeper. First, because he has already shown that he's weak mentally on clutch time. So imagine that you come out to the pitch and you have basically 95% of the stadium against you. And it's different when you're a rival, right? But now your own fans don't want you. So I don't see how he would be able to overcome that, because I'm just going with the facts. The facts shown that he's not mentally strong enough to overcome this. When we needed a goalkeeper, the only game that we needed one, because throughout the entire season of that particular season, 2017 Apertura. Basically, Monterrey didn't have any, well, not that much chances created against them. So you can point out maybe the penalty kick against Morelia in the semifinal. Yeah, but again, that Monterrey had a lot of punch. So we ended up winning. Remember that Liguilla? It was like 7-0 to Atlas and 5-0 to Morelia. So when we needed a goalkeeper, we basically hit the floor just like that, because we didn't have one. I don't see how he can really believe that, because I mean, I know he, as I said, he's playing the game, he's being professional, but I don't see how he really thinks that in his, within himself, like, I'm gonna do this. I really don't see it. Aside of the fact that what happened in that final, like you said, we cannot judge a player by being in Necaxa or Querétaro. This is something that really bothers me whenever there's a discussion for players that you want here in Monterrey. Because, for instance, I remember one guy from Querétaro, Marcel, something like that.
Yeah, Marcel Ruiz.
A midfielder. Like, he has a good tournament with Querétaro, and everybody was like, oh, he should come up here. It's not the same. It's not the same playing with Pavón, Funes Mori, Graneviter, Celso Ortiz. It's not the same. So he wouldn't even start. First of all, so the pressure is different. You have to have titles here in Monterrey, even though you might say, well, right now you're on the 18th place and so on and so forth, but the pressure is there. And usually in football, the second parts are never good. Mohamed kind of broke that rule with the title on December and the great performance and World Cup. But again, I can point out too that right now we are on the 18th place. We haven't won a single game. It's really hard. I wouldn't trust my net with Hugo González, mm-hmm. me personally.
Yeah, and I think 95% of the fan base is with you on that, if not more.
One thing I want to add really quick before we wrap this up. Hugo González is not even going to be here. So he is on the contract with Monterrey, but even Pat knows this, because we have a mutual friend that he's inside the club. And he already told us, like, he's just gonna be used as an exchange with another team. Mm-hmm. The probability is that Jonathan Orozco comes back. That's the probability. But I assume that even the management knows that they cannot bring Gonzalez and make him start. So,
yeah. And I mean, if they have to loan him out again, they have to loan him out again. And honestly, you don't have to just loan him out to another Liga MX club. With a lot of players, you know, especially Mexican players heading to MLS, you know, mm-hmm. you can loan him out to an MLS club and there. So we'll see what happens with him. We'll see what happens with him. He's, like you said, he's still under contract, and we'll see. Let me just wrap this up by some of the people, what they were saying on Twitter on this conversation to put a bow on it. You had Paul underscore Garate Q, pretty much echoing what we kind of all said. You know, Barovero, you know, thank him for his time, but it's time to move on. You know, to give Monchis the starting position. Maybe if they hold on, maybe if they have Hugo González just be the backup. But other than that, Cardenas number one goalkeeper because he's earned it. And then you also have Moose Knuckle underscore 01 saying that, you know, that Hugo, you know, that Hugo González should be the last person that they should give a chance to, but you know, he's okay with Monchis earning the spot. But yeah, that's all the goalkeeper talk we have. The next episode's gonna be central defenders, and include central defenders, and it's gonna be the entire defense, because that one's gonna be an in-depth conversation, just because of the need for that position. And we're gonna talk, you know, who to bring in. I'm giving the guys just a little preview. I'm giving them $27 million to play with, because that's the transfer budget FIFA gives, you know, in the video game. So we'll use that estimate of money to play with. Obviously, we're going to see who we bring in. Realistic, targets, not just because they can probably afford them. So we're going to do that in the next episode. And so for Eddie, for Patrick, for Rompas, hopefully enjoy this little series that we're, you know, going to be producing with No Soccer. But yeah, thanks for listening.